Father God, for your provision for us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for who you are and all that you have done.
Yes.
Now, Father God, as the speaker takes her rightful place, Lord God, behind her pulpit, use her mightily for your glory.
Yes.
Father God, give her the divine utterance of your word, Father.
Yes.
And what comes forth, Father God, would be of you, Father God. And let it be for us, Lord Jesus. Let the seed of your word go forth and bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, once again. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're happy to be here tonight again, and just thank God for all of you that are here. Amen. Look around and just wave at everybody. Say, God bless you tonight. Amen. You know, don't want to talk too much, but I want to say how blessed that Molly and I are to see all of these children in here. And I hate to say it, Brother Kavika and Sister Caitlin, we were in California last of last year, and we had a bunch of people come up, and they were telling us how long ago in Fresno, California, I received the Holy Ghost in one of your revivals. It was 35 years. I said, shh, don't talk about that. But we don't want to embarrass anybody, but some people we know, this was just real little, you know, now they're grown up and
at a potluck
and taking leadership positions and everything. So we, Molly and I never had children, so if you don't mind, we'll adopt all of you as our children. Is that okay, young people? Okay, yes. Can you be our children? But I want to thank you so much. I want to encourage you to out at the table, there's a pad it's called a spiritual experience card. We used to use these a lot. But I want to encourage you, sometimes it does a lot of good to write down your experience. Mm-hmm. And also, Molly and I would like to have your name and some information. We just started what's called, it's a Zoom program. A lot of business people use it, Zoom.us. And it's a program that allows you to get on your laptop, on your camera, and it'll show your picture and your name there. And anybody else that gets on can show a little picture, their picture, and you see everybody. So it's like a conference call. And I thought about, you know, a prayer meeting time. So many people want us to call in prayer meetings. And sometimes Molly is on the phone four, five times a day, sometimes an hour or so, with people calling in and needing prayer. And she's just praying over the phone. So we started the first Thursday of last month. We started what's called Share in Prayer with Richard and Molly. And they have a free version of it where you can stay on the phone on the computer for 40 minutes. And then after 40 minutes, I said, we can't quit. So a little note came up on mine because I was hosting it saying, we're giving you more time. And so I said, yes. And so we kept praying. And so after we got through with it, it was such a blessing that one of the ladies called and she said, I looked online on Zoom.com, and if you pay for it for a whole year, it's cheaper. And she says, that was so much of a blessing to me that I want to pay for a whole year. And so we're going to start doing the first Thursday of each month, about 7 or 8 o'clock, and we can send an email to people, and all they have to do is click on the address, and if you got a laptop with a camera, you know, it'll pull you right on up into the meeting, and have times of prayer and sharing, you know,
so
in prayer.
We're off of work at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, so if we do it at 8 o'clock home, if you fill out your information, we need, you know, your name and also your email, we can send you an email invitation on this, but please fill out these, even if you have to use the back, and share what God has done in this revival. It really blesses us to read these. And sometimes we have a chance to take, if you don't mind, take your testimony, and we'll say, here it is right here. What you have need of, this lady or this gentleman just received it. You know, amen. And another thing is we met a little lady. Oh, it blessed us so much. We were in revival, and she came to the table, and she pulled out a card. This is a modern picture. And she pulled out a card of our picture on a card when we were young, real young, you know, good looking. And so we're not as good looking now, you know. And so she said, I must tell you this, that I picked up one of your cards years ago and I put it in my Bible. And every time I go to church, I open up my Bible, I use your card for a bookmarker and I see your face. And I go home and I read my devotions. And I take your card out and I'll use it for a bookmarker. And she said, I have been praying for you and Sister Molly for 20 years. And I said to myself, I said, that's why, not because of us, that's why God has given us so great revivals, is because people are praying for us. And it would just mean so much to us if you'd go by the table, pick up a card. I tell people this. This picture keep crows out of your garden. Amen. You can't throw darts at it. And if you can't think of anything else to do, pray for us. Amen. Amen. So go by the table and pick up one of our cards and put it in your Bible and pray for us. Hold us up in prayer. We sure need your prayers. We've got an invitation to come to Canada. And of course, the churches are scattered out in Canada. We got an invitation to come to Africa, to Uganda. So we're praying about when is a good time to do that. We just got so many places that we want to try to go, and it's new places that we've never been, and so we're just praying about where to go. So we need your prayers to hold us up in prayer. And one other prayer request, I got a text from my sister, and she's in Mississippi with my mother, and Kathy is really and the youngest one, Elizabeth, they live in the same town with my mother, and they've taken responsibility of taking care of her. But Kathy's really upset, and Molly and I, calling back and forth, you know, didn't really realize, and we've seen her more recent, you know, since this has happened, but we didn't notice that she was kind of losing her memory a little bit, and her short-term memory. She can tell you anything that happened a long time ago. We went down to see her the last time and noticed a real remarkable difference. And the first day we were there, she hardly spoke to us. We had to engage her. And then the next day, she was a little bit better. But I got a text from my sister today saying that she went to the doctor, and the doctor had given her some medicine, but he told her that they was concerned about her staying by herself. And Mama, she knows she's, you know, forgetful. She says, Richard, I'm getting forgetful. And I said, Mama, we all know, you know, so don't worry about it. Don't get upset about it. But looks like they've put in the next 30 days, she's going to go into a senior citizen's living, nursing home. But there in this one, they fix their hair. They have more interaction with other people. And so that may be what she needs. And so we're just really praying that things will operate and just come around. You know, my grandmother, she said something about my grandmother. My grandmother was real just hard, you know, and she wanted to be independent, and it was hard when she came to that time. And so Mama said something about my grandmother and how hard it was for her to make that adjustment. Just hold us up in prayer that we can know what to do. And I text my sister back and said, Kathy, we love you, and for you know, taking care of this big responsibility there. And Molly and I have traveled all of our life, you know, and so we've traveled most of the time and hadn't been able to be there. But we're so thankful that my sister is doing this. But hold my mother up in prayer and hold us up in prayer that we can be able to visit more. She's about 10 hours away from where we live. And so sometimes it's a major thing to travel there and come back and stay on schedule. So hold us up in prayer. We do need your prayers. Amen. And we want to thank you for your prayers. And y'all are like our family. We've talked a story today about how long it's been and the first time we were here and how God really blessed. And so we consider you to be like our family. And it would be such a soothing thing for us to know that y'all are holding us up in prayer. Amen. And thank you. I know you are holding us up in prayer. Now this song actually says something different. You know, if you'll say things differently sometimes, you know, it kind of makes more meaning. Sometimes we like to say, Jesus, my problem is this, and I've got this problem and that problem. This song actually says, and it's written by Perry Stone, it says, don't tell Jesus about the problem, but tell your problem about how big your God is. Amen? Amen. Let the Lord bless you as we sing this song. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell your problems about Him. Your need is all that you need. For God to come down and sing victory right in. The Lord has always been faithful, and I know He'll be faithful again. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell Him how big your God is. Demons heard Jesus was coming, and they shook and they trembled with fear. Doctors were losing their patience when the healer named Jesus came near. Funerals were often disrupted. Church services were never the same. Whatever may be your problem, my friend, he'll turn it around today. You believe it? You gotta tell your troubles about Jesus. Just tell your problems about Him. Your need is all that you need. For God to come down and sing victory riding. The Lord has always been faithful, and I know He'll be faithful again. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell Him how big your God is. Lightning dashed on troubled waters. Their ship was about to go down. Then suddenly a voice in the darkness echoed a powerful sound. Jesus said, peace to the tempest. That's when the disciples found. You can't go under for going over when Jesus is around. You believe it? You gotta tell your troubles about Jesus. Just tell your problems about Him. Your need is all that you need. For God to come down and send victory riding. The Lord has always been faithful, and I know He'll be faithful again. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell Him how big your God is. When your trouble comes and knocking, just remember what Jesus said. He said, I'll be with you always until the very end. You believe it? Till the end. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell your problems about Him. Your need is all that you need. For God to come down and send victory right in. The Lord has always been faithful, and I know He'll be faithful again. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell how big your God is. The Lord has always been faithful, and I know He'll be faithful again. Why don't you tell your troubles about Jesus? Just tell Him how big your God is. He's a great big God. Before Sister Molly comes and preaches, I want to sing a song that I heard on the radio, and I said has such words that match my life that I want to sing it. And it's entitled, I Can't Live a Day Without Him. Amen. I know you feel the same way. Feel the longings of my heart, the healing warmth of someone's arms, and I could live without my dreams and never know the thrill of what could be with all my stars so far and out of reach. I could live without many things, and I could carry on, but I couldn't face my life tomorrow without your hope in my heart. I know I can't live one day without you, Lord. There's no night and there's no morning without your loving arms to hold me. You're the heartbeat of all I do. I can't live one day without you, Lord. Oh, no, 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 no.
know I've traveled this whole world, seen all the wonders beautiful and new. They only make me think of you and die. I could have all life offers, riches that were far beyond compare. They'd only grant my wish without one care. Oh, I could do anything, oh yes, Lord, but if you are not in it all, I couldn't face my life tomorrow without your hope in my heart. I know I can't live one day without you, Lord. There's no night and there's no morning without your loving arms to hold me. You're the heartbeat of all I do. I can't live one day without you. Oh, Jesus, I have because you live. You're like the air I breathe. Oh, my Jesus. I couldn't face my life tomorrow without your hope in my heart. I know I can't live one day without you, Lord. There's no night and there's no morning without your loving arms to hold me. You're the heartbeat of all I do. I can't live one day, I couldn't face my life tomorrow without your hope in my heart. I know I can't live one day without you, Lord. There's no night and there's no morning without your loving arms to hold me. You're the heartbeat of all I do. I can't live one day without you, Lord. Oh, no, 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 I can't live one day, I can't live one day without you.
Don't you love the Lord? Sister Molly is coming in. I want to let you know that in my life, I could say this with true honesty, that God has a mate for every man. And for every man of God and every preacher, God has got that perfect wife that can mold right into everything you need to accomplish the call that God has laid upon your heart. Amen. And God has given us, you know, great call upon our life that's bigger than we are. And a lot of times when I'm, you know, not matching up and I'm not able to give the energy I need, you know, God has sent Molly along my side, and she's been the very word and the very encouragement and the very thing that's helped me. And years ago, I kept saying, Molly, you can preach. I know you can preach, you know, because people were saying, Richard, where do you get those great messages that you preach? And I said, well, it's very easy. Molly preaches to me all week, and I just put a text to it, and it works. Amen? I better shut up. Sister Molly, give her a nice hand clap of thank you, and she's going to bless you tonight.
Praise the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Are you happy to be in church tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I'm happy to be here. Thank you, brother. Amen. We had a wonderful day today with Sister Lumen, Brother Tony, and Caitlin. And we just appreciate it. And we had a wonderful day, and I just thank God. I thank God for the privilege of being back in Hawaii and at this church with this lovely people. We fell in love with y'all a long time ago and had some wonderful times together. Israel and just church, and you know, God's good. Potluck, we've done it all. And we're just thankful and glad to be here. Amen.
Yeah.
If you would get your Bibles tonight, or your phone, whatever you do to look at the Word of God. A lot of people nowadays use their phones, whatever you use. We're going to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 4. I'm sorry, 3 and 4. If you would like to stand up just for a minute, I know we've been sitting for a little while, some of us just feel like standing up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, and I'm reading in the NIV. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Amen?
Amen.
On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen? The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. They're not carnal weapons. But on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, your word that's powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, we pray that your word would go forth tonight and touch hearts and lives. And we just will never fail to praise you and give you the glory tonight. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord.
Thank you.
You may be seated. The name of my message tonight, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to say, under attack, we fight back.
Amen.
So when I say under attack, I want you to say, we fight back. Amen? So you're going to hear that throughout the message, and I want you to remember that. Under attack, we fight back. Amen. I believe, as well all of us do, that we're living in the very end of time. We're living in the last of the last days. Everything is pointing toward the coming of the Lord. Amen? Everywhere you look, every which way you turn, it's saying Jesus is coming back. Now, we've heard it all of our life. I was thinking when Brother Tony was singing, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I was a little girl, probably 4 or 5 years old. I had a great aunt that was in her probably 80s already, and she used to sing that song to me. She said, come here, Molly, and she'd sing, it's bubbling, in her frail little voice. And I remember her, my grandfather, her brother, my grandmother, all talking about Jesus coming back. And I never dreamed my grandmother would die before the Lord would come back. But she did. And here we are. But in January of this year, Richard and I were in a conference for ministers, whatever. And then there was some prayer meetings going on called Agree 19. And they were talking about the unchurched people of this world. And they said by the year 2030 that all the unchurched groups of people throughout the world would have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what did one of the songs we sang tonight said that when the gospel was spread all around the world, Jesus said it, then would his return come. So we're almost there, but not saying that we're not close enough that he could come back tonight. Amen? He's coming back. So as we are looking toward the Lord coming back, we as Christians, we go through things in our lives, do we not? And I say we go under attack of the enemy. The enemy brings attacks onto us. And I'm not talking about just one little attack here, just a little thing happening here. But I believe some of this will apply to some of you tonight. We sometimes are under a continual spiritual attack. And why? Under attack, we fight back. Why are we under these attacks? Because Satan is after us. Amen? He is trying to discourage us in any way that he can. So he puts us under attack. The Bible says that it is Satan. It's not flesh and blood, but it's Satan and all his demons and all his imps that is our enemy. Amen? It's not Richard. It's not my enemy. Amen? Your pastor's not your enemy tonight. Our neighbors, our families, not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. He's the one that comes in and causes confusion. He's the one that comes in and causes disunity. He's the one that causes issues and problems in our families and in our homes and different things. It's the devil. Sometimes we think it's this or that, or we think it's somebody else, but it's always the devil at the bottom of it. Amen? But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is he. As the word tells us, in these last days, we must be sober and we must be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So if we're not where we need to be with God, and we're not walking that close walk with the Lord like we should be, watch out, because the devil is seeking to devour you. Amen. He's after you. He's got on the bottom of the blueprint of your life. Where does he want you to go? He wants you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. So he tries in every way. Under attack, we fight back. So how are we going to fight back? We're going to get to that. Amen. I've been through some attacks in my life. Richard and I have been through stuff. You've been through stuff in your life. And I just wanted to mention a couple of things. I didn't realize Brother Tony had a heart attack in 2012. And he had four. Wow. Richard had a heart attack in 2012. The main artery of his heart was 100% blocked. They called it the widow maker. And when I got into the hospital, and they came in and said, "Mr. Woodruff, you're in the middle of having a heart attack." And then they brought the chaplain in. And the chaplain took me away. So I thought, oh my goodness, this is really serious. So anyway, they took him and they did a stent and they caught it in time. And praise the Lord, no damage to his heart or anything. We just thank God for that. In 2013, amen. In 2013, I've never been sick a day in my life. And here I got diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. Oh, after a lumpectomy and 37 radiation treatments, I was great. Hallelujah. I give God all the glory. God's been faithful. Faithful. God is faithful tonight. God is faithful tonight. 5.5 years later, I'm grateful to be here, and I thank God for his healing touch. Amen. In 2013, as I was going through the radiation, Richard had trouble breathing. They had to go back and do another stent. In 2014, the doctors found out I had a tumor on my left ovary. It was borderline cancer. They removed that, and they had to go back and do a full hysterectomy. But I'm good. There was no more sign of any cancer in my body. Hallelujah. I give God the glory. In 2015, while we were doing a crusade, trying to win souls to the Lord, over in Chanute, Kansas, about 2.5-3 hours from our home, somebody broke into our home and stole everything and anything of any value, even down to Richard's blue jeans.
Ukuleles.
He had two ukuleles that had been given to him in Hawaii. They even took his ukuleles. He wasn't very happy about that. But anyway, I mean, just attack after attack. In 2016, we bought a house moving out of Springfield, Missouri, because there's all kind of meanness and things happening there, and we didn't like being broken into, so we decided to find us a little town where we felt like we might be safe, or, you know, if we're gone, that people could watch over it and that kind of thing. So we bought a house, and after we signed the papers, and we had a month, we were going to remodel and then move in. As we began to remodel, we found two walls, major outside walls, totally eaten out with termites. And then after the termites, we had a plumber who went up under the house. Up under the kitchen was a 100-year-old, 21-foot cistern. Big old hole under the kitchen. Right? And they had to cut a hole in the kitchen floor for it to be filled up. But I'm just saying, things happen. Thing after thing. It's like, my Lord, what's going on with this? 2017 of February, late in 2016, Richard started having trouble with his right knee, and he had broken it 29 years before in Hawaii on Oahu, had to have 3 surgeries on it then, and anyway, the 2 pins had come together, was pushing into the bone, and causing excruciating pain, and he ended up in bed more than he was up, or he had to walk with the crutches or walk or whatever. He could hardly get around at all. So they had to remove the hardware in February of 2017. He had to get over that, and then in September of 2017, he had a total knee replacement. In July of 2017, so that happened in February, and then the knee replacement was in September. In July of 2017, I had been working for a company for 5 years, and with the house situation, we had borrowed, you know, had a loan to buy the house. We had borrowed 3 different loans to do all this stuff that had happened to the house that we didn't know about, plus a little bit of remodeling. So I'm working away 5 years at this company, had a real good job, and thinking, you know, I'm going to work another 3 or 4 years because that's just what we needed to do to pay off the loans that we had made. And so I'm working away, and I'd been to a conference in Buffalo, New York, the biggest Homeland Security conference in the country, and been up there for the company. I come home about a month later, I get a call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and my executive director of our company was on the phone, and he said, "Molly, I hate to call you so early, but I just wanted to tell you, we're still going to come to work, but the owner of the company, Dr. Oblak, is dead. He had shot his 27-year-old girlfriend and then turned around down the hallway, sat down and shot himself in the head. So here we are. We go to work. That day, I was interviewed probably 3 hours by detectives. They wanted to know, did you think anything like this would ever happen, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was traumatic. I had taken that 27-year-old girl who'd never been married into my arms on many occasions. And I would say, "Tiffany, this is not a good situation. It's bad what's going on between you guys." They just had a volatile relationship, you know, and it was just tough. And I would say, "You need to," he's 66 years old. "You're 27 years old." He'd been married 5 or 6 times. I said, "You need to go and serve the Lord. You need," I talked to him about Jesus over and over and over. I said, "You need to serve the Lord, and you need to turn your life over to God. You need to find somebody." She was a beautiful, blonde-headed girl. "You need to fall in love, get married, have children, enjoy your family." And then for that to happen, to come and for her to be shot in the head and killed, it was traumatic. It took me a while to get over it. But all I'm saying, I'm not saying feel sorry for me or feel sorry for Richard. And just like me, you go through stuff. Attack after attack after attack.
We fight back.
Amen. We go through the attacks of Satan. We keep holding on and trusting in the Lord through all these things that happen. Amen. Yeah. We're never going to let up. God said that he would be with us. He would never leave us. He would never forsake us, but he's always there. The Bible says in Isaiah 29 and 12, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Amen? So we are never going to give up. We're never going to give in. The devil can attack and attack and attack all he wants to, but we're going to keep standing for the Lord and standing for our fight of faith, and we're going to win this battle. Amen? And I believe many of us are going to be alive when the rapture takes place. Amen? And some of us may go on the way of the grave, but I believe many of us, we're going to be here. So you know what? We're going to walk in victory every day of our life, no matter what attack Satan may try to throw at us. Amen? We're going to stay in victory. Psalms 34 and 19 says, "Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Amen. Hallelujah. In John 16 and 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Amen. But take heart, because Jesus overcame the world, we can overcome the world. Hallelujah. Under attack, we fight back. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 and 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you." Hallelujah. And when you pass through the rivers, they're not going to sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Hallelujah. His word. Hallelujah. We can take Him at His word just like it says He's going to take care of us. Amen. When we are under attack, what happens sometimes? We get down and out and we feel defeated. But God is greater. Hallelujah. The waters may seem to flow over us. And they may feel like that you're about to drown. But just stand up a little bit higher. There's some air above. Jesus is there. And He wants to breathe into you the breath of life. Hallelujah. Glory. Every negative thought that Satan puts in you. Every attack that comes from Satan. God has a positive answer. We can rest in God. We can rest in His victory. And we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It is imperative, saints of God, it is imperative that we not listen to the lies of the enemy. Amen. Don't listen to him. But how can we do that, can you say? How can we stop listening to all this junk that he puts in our hearts and in our minds? How are we going to do this? Many times, you can relate to this, when the attack is on, depression will sweep over you. And it's just like a hand that pushes you down and won't let you up. It just keeps pushing you down. But instead of digging into the Word of God, instead of digging into God like we need to do, what do? We were weary in the battle. And we lay back and we say, "Ooh, I don't like this. So I'm just going to go in my room and I'm going to pull the covers up over my head and I'm going to just hide. And when I hide, maybe it'll just all go away." You think? Okay? So then maybe we don't want to go just lay in our room and cover up our head. So what do? We go in our room and we turn on the TV. And we begin to just watch all this junk. Is there anything much good left on TV anymore? We sure spend a lot of time sitting in front of it, don't we, Lord? Help us, Jesus. Oh, Lord. We need to be digging into the Word of God. We need to be digging into the Lord. Amen. Get off by yourself. Go down to the ocean. You're so blessed. Oh, I wish I lived close to the ocean. Go down to the ocean and sit there and listen to the ocean back and forth and feel the breeze and begin to say, "Thank you, Lord, for the breath of the Holy Spirit that's breathing over me right now. Thank you, Lord. I hope for the promises of your word." Hallelujah. Amen. We need to dig into the Lord instead of digging into the other things. And a lot of times when we are going through these issues and we're depressed and we're down and out, what do? We just fill our mind full of nothing. You ever just been there?
Yeah.
You don't do anything. Maybe you don't watch TV. You don't do anything. Or maybe you play a mindless game on your phone or on your computer. A mindless game. So you fill your mind full of nothing. And when you keep filling your mind full of nothing and not the Word of God, and not God Himself, and you're not praying and seeking the face of God, you're digging into all these other things, you're thinking of nothing maybe, you begin to desensitize yourself to the Spirit of God.
Come on.
Your spirit is full of nothing. So you begin to desensitize yourself to the Spirit of God. And then as you begin to dwell on these negative thoughts and all these things, you begin to say, "This is impossible. I can't do this. I'm just too tired to fight this battle." You ever been there? "I'll never make it through this attack." You ever been there? "I can't go on. I just can't figure this out. I don't understand. I can't do this anymore." Anybody? "Woo, I'm just too afraid. I'm scared of what's going to happen. I'm always worried and frustrated. I feel so all alone." Anybody ever been there? Oh, Lord, help us. But I'm here tonight. I'm here to remind you tonight that when you are under the attack of Satan and when you are going through all this kind of stuff, your life is literally falling apart. It's time for you to stand up. Hallelujah. Stand up and fight back. Don't go hide your head in the sand. Stand up and fight back under attack. Oh, hallelujah. How can we fight back, you may say? I'm going to give you some weapons tonight that you can use to fight back Satan, to fight back the attack of the enemy. He is full-time on the job. He's doing everything he can to discourage you. Again, don't forget it. You know that. He wants to throw in things to your life and get you to concentrate on the attacks instead of concentrating on the Lord. But under attack, we fight back. Hallelujah. You're going to have to fight this battle. You're going to have to take these weapons. And when you do, you will be victorious in every area of your life. I just want to encourage you tonight. I want you to be encouraged. We go through things. You're going to go through things. But God is greater. And we've got to keep holding on to his hand. Holding to God's unchanging hand in these last days that we're living in. As I read at the beginning, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are nothing but mere weak humans, but with God, we are greater than the Satan and the attacks that he's given. We can't give in to these human plans and the methods to win the battles. We have got to use God's mighty weapons because they are available. And if we're going to win this war, we have got to use God's mighty weapons. So what are the mighty weapons of God? The first weapon I want to talk about is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Putting on the full armor of God. Weapon number one, the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we not living in the evil day? Amen. And having done all to stand. Amen. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes. It is important that you put on the full armor of God.
That's right.
Now, when you get up in the morning, if you still work, even if you don't work, you go to the closet and you say, what am I going to wear today? Or in your drawer, whatever. Okay, so let's say that a lady's going to a meeting at work. She knows she's going to have a business meeting this day or whatever. She's going to go and she's going to find her suit or whatever that she may wear that day. She's going to find the right shoes to go with it. She's going to find the right belt to go with it. Maybe the right scarf to go with it. And who knows, maybe she'll put on a hat. I doubt it, but whatever. So, but I mean, she's not going to leave off one piece of that outfit that she's going to put on. And let's say a man's going to the gym. He's going to get his shorts. He's going to get his tennis shoes, his socks, you know, his whatever. He's going to get all his equipment that he needs to go to the gym with him. Everything. He doesn't want to forget anything. So it is with our armor of God. We cannot forget one piece of the armor. We've got to suit up in the armor of God. So you say, now, how can I actually put on the belt of truth? How can I take and put on the breastplate of righteousness? And how can I have my feet fitted with the gospel of peace? And how can I take up the shield of faith? Literally, we don't do that. But we do that by filling our hearts and our minds with the word of God. Amen. And we know the tools, the suit of armor, that we have the full armor of God. So one of the weapons that we're going to use to fight against the attack of Satan is the full armor of God. And I want to talk about one piece of the armor. They're all important. I can say it real quickly. The breastplate of righteousness. We have to guard our heart. We have to make sure that we're living righteous holy lives. Amen? And then we must put on the belt of truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that you are a child of the living God. Amen? You are a king's kid. And whatever you have need of, God is there to help you to receive whatever it is you have need of. Put on the belt of truth. And then we're going to have our shoes on. The shoes of peace and the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring peace into our hearts, into other people's lives. And then we're going to take up the shield of faith. Amen. Satan's going to throw darts at us. He's going to throw things at us. But we're holding up the shield of faith. And those arrows and those darts and those things that are coming at us, if we will hold the shield of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Amen. Those arrows are going to go into that shield of faith and not to hit us. Amen. And then we're going to put on the helmet of salvation. Don't forget the hat, the helmet of salvation. When a soldier would suit up for battle, the very last piece of armor that he put on would be the helmet of salvation. And this helmet of salvation, this helmet that was there on his head would protect him, would protect his brain. And the brain was the command station for the rest of the body. If the head was badly damaged, the rest of the armor would be of little use. Amen. So it's important. If the head was badly damaged, then the rest of the army would be of little use. So we must put on that helmet of salvation. And we must take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can't fight the battle without the sword. Amen. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word illuminates. Amen. It will show you the path that you need to go in. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll be lost and get turned all around in the dark. But if you'll have the word of God and let it be foremost in your mind, if you have filled your mind with the word of God instead of the junk of this world, then you will know when attacks come, you will realize, oh, I know a scripture for that. I know I can repeat that word and it will have power. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Amen. The all-powerful sword of the living God is able to cut through every defense that the enemy is going to throw at you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we take up the sword of the Word of God, nothing can stand against its ability to cut to the core of the matter. Amen. Have you been in trouble before? Have you been under attack? And you remember a scripture, and that scripture is the very thing that needs you to bring you through that attack. Amen. So the first weapon that we're going to use tonight to fight against the attack of Satan is the full armor of God. The second weapon that you're going to use is prayer. Amen. You need to be talking to the Lord. Amen. You need to be praying out, calling on the Lord. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions.
Amen.
All occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all saints. Praise the Lord. Pray, pray, pray. Your second weapon is prayer. Communication with God. And not only communicating with God, but being quiet and listening to what He has to say to you.
Amen.
And you may hear His voice as you're sitting there listening to Him. You may hear His voice. And you know, I'm going through this terrible thing, this attack. I've been attacked this side and that side and over. But Lord Jesus, I'm calling upon your name today. In that sweet, small voice, He will say, go this way, do this. This will lead you away from the attack in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Billy Graham said it this way. Prayer is spiritual communication between man and God. A two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but also listen to God. Amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel 7:7-9 says, when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Oh, Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a burnt offering before the Lord, and thanked the Lord. Jesus Christ became our ultimate sacrifice. Hallelujah. And Samuel cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. They were able to defeat the Philistines. James 5 and 16 says, at the last part of it, the heart, in the Amplified version, I love this, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It is dynamic and has tremendous power. Amen. Our prayers have power. Oh, we're overcomers. Hallelujah. We're overcomers. So we're going to use the weapon of the full armor of God. You're not going to leave off any part of the armor, right? You're going to put it all on every morning when you get up. And then the second piece of the weapon that you're going to use is prayer. And the third weapon you're going to use is praise. Amen. We're going to praise our Lord. Sometimes these attacks of Satan have been so consistent, and they seem like someone has a hammer and they're pounding and pounding and pounding, and it won't quit. Have you ever been there? Yeah. One thing after another, it just keeps on and on and on. But we are going to take up our weapons and we're going to defeat. We feel hopeless sometimes. We feel hopeless and helpless, and many times we feel powerless to do anything about the attacks of Satan. But David wrote in Psalms 34 and 1, "I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips." David made a conscious effort. He did everything within himself to keep a praise to God upon his lips. And sometimes that's what we have to do. Maybe you're under attack even right now.
Come on.
Maybe attack after attack has come your way, and you don't feel like praising the Lord. But if you could just begin to barely speak.
Come on.
Oh, if you will just begin to barely say, squeak it out if that's all you can do. Squeak out, "Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God, you are omnipotent. You are my Lord and you're my Savior. You are the Lord God Almighty. Oh, Father God, you are a shield around about me. The arrows may be coming, but I have my shield up. And oh, Lord, you're a shield round about me. You are my fortress, and I run unto you. Oh, you're my strong tower. Oh, you are Jehovah God Almighty. You are Jehovah Shalom, oh, my peace. When there seems to be no peace, you are my peace. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that heals me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are my deliverer. You see, I can't even do it quiet. I start getting all excited because that's the power of the Lord. Oh, I'm praising him tonight. You're the lily of the valley. You're the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. You're the great I am. Oh, you are my good shepherd. Hallelujah. You're wonderful. You're counselor. Almighty God are you. Hallelujah. If you'll just begin to praise the Lord, your praise is going to turn into worship. And when you begin to adore your Lord and Savior, and you're able to turn all your worries and cares over to him, all the attacks that's come to you, the Lord is well able to fight the battle for you. Let it go. Give it to God tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Quit trying to take it upon yourself. Hallelujah. Let him fight the battle for you. He is strong enough. He is able to handle it tonight. He's big enough tonight. I can and I will have the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can just barely get it out,
amen,
begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let it turn into worship. And even though I'm under attack, one after another, I can make it. I can make it. I will come through on the other side. I will come through victorious.
Amen. Amen.
But as we all know, attacks of Satan can beat us down. They can get us down. If you don't use the weapons, if you don't put on the full armor of God, if you don't pray, if you don't praise, then they're going to beat you down. Life is going to get you down. And you're going to need healing from the wounds of the battle. We get physically, mentally, emotionally all upset, and our life just falls apart because we're not using the weapons that God has given us. The spirits inside of us get wounded. Our spirit gets wounded from the attacks, and our bodies become sick. And when you're sick, you need the great physician to come in. The balm of Gilead, amen, is the balm of Gilead. Where is the balm of Gilead? Is there no, Jeremiah the prophet called out, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? My answer to you today, if you need healing from emotional attacks, if you need healing emotionally, physically, spiritually tonight, the healer's in the house tonight. Hallelujah, the healer's in the house tonight. The balm of Gilead is here. He decided to drop by tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever it is you have need of tonight, the healer's in the house. Hallelujah. The balm of Gilead is Jesus. Amen. According to pulpit commentary, balm is a resinous gum which flowed from the side of a tree found on the sunny slopes of Mount Gilead and was counted very precious and was expensive. The side of the tree was pierced and the precious balm flowed forth. The physicians of that day constantly made use of this balm of Gilead, and they studied the best manner of applying the balm of Gilead. The balm here is a beautiful symbol of Jesus Christ. Amen? Mount Gilead, the tree, the pierced side, the stream flowing forth, and its mighty healing power are symbolic of Mount Calvary, the cross, the pierced side of Jesus, the precious flowing of his blood, and the healing spiritually, physically, and emotionally that comes from Jesus and the finished work of Calvary. Christ, the balm that heals. Hallelujah. Christ, the blessed Holy Spirit, is he who reveals Christ to our body, our soul, and our spirit. By his death, Christ reconciled us to God. And in that reconciliation is the provision for our healing. Whatever kind of healing you may need today, tonight, the healer is in the house. Hallelujah. The healer's in the house. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're sick and tired of the attacks, and you've been beaten down by the attacks, you've become sick, Christ is your victory today. Hallelujah. For he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 and 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. Hallelujah. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, the healer's in the house today. The healer's in the house. Hallelujah. The balm of Gilead is present. Whatever it is that you have need of tonight, he's here. He's here. If you're tired of the attacks of Satan, oh, I just want you to call upon the balm of Gilead tonight. If we could all just stand to our feet and begin to raise our hands and praise the Lord tonight. He is here. He is present to heal your body, your mind, and your spirit. Just stand to your feet tonight. Oh, I don't know what kind of attack you may be under, or maybe you have been under, or maybe one of your family members are under attack of Satan. Oh, but let me tell you, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Under attack, we fight back. Hallelujah. We're not going to lay down. And let me tell you, if you go up there to that highway and there's a big old truck coming down that highway and you stumble and fall, are you going to lay there and let that big truck run over you? No, you're going to get up. So I am telling you tonight, oh, under the attack of Satan, oh, get up. Get up and get the victory tonight. Oh, let me tell you, your neighbors need to know that you have the victory. Oh, your neighbors need to know that you're not down and out and in the gutter. Your neighbors need to know that you walk victorious tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hokaya. Usakayondo rababaye. Indo rababaye. Indo rababaye. Sokataya rababaye. Glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, devil, you are a liar. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our Lord and our Savior. I know some of you physically have been under attacks. Some of you, your home situations, oh, you've been under attack. Oh, don't forget about your weapons.
Oh, yes.
Don't forget about your weapons, armor of God, prayer and praise. But tonight, we're here. We want to pray with you. If you have been under the attack of Satan and you can't seem to get out from under it, I tell you, Richard and I, one thing after another, we said, God, when is it going to let up? But I kept praying. I kept seeking God. I kept seeking the face of God. I kept calling on the name of the Lord, my God, my Savior. I kept squeaking out those praises. Oh, hallelujah. He's here for you tonight. If you would just come forward tonight, we want to pray with you. Oh, God is our deliverer, the healers in the house tonight, whatever it is you have need of. And Sister Myra, would you play the piano and let's... Millicent, if y'all would sing for us a little, just a little bit. Is Millicent still here? Yeah. Let's just sing a little bit and just because, you know, when you praise the Lord, that's when he comes with all his strength and his power comes in our midst. So let's just get our minds on worship and praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we give you glory. Hallelujah.
I don't think there's anybody in the house that didn't relate to that. Now it's time for us to step out and let the Holy Ghost confirm this word in a spiritual way in our life. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And all of us have been under attack. We what?
Fight back.
One way to fight back is take one step out of your seat right now. I see this lady back here. You're under attack, sister. In the red dress and this black suit. I want you to come and stand. Somebody come with her. Another lady come with her. Why don't we all get up in this altar and say, Father, I'm under attack. Father, I'm under attack. That's the devil's business. That's his job. He's on the job. He's fighting every one of us. Hallelujah. Bring that sister down to the altar and let us pray for her. Amen. And all of you come down to the altar and say, Father, I'm under attack. Come on. We've got to step out. That's part of us stepping out. And that's stepping out on faith. And let the Lord touch you. Hallelujah. She's coming. She's coming. We're going to pray for you. Come on, saints. And as we pray, you know what's been happening around here. We've all got to lift our voices. Lift our voices. I will get mine. I will get mine. So just everybody start praising the Lord. Lift your hands this way as we pray. You pray also.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's going to be miracles done tonight. Miracles done tonight. Because the devil's not here. God's here. Amen. The warfare's out there, but you've got peace in here. There's no war in here. There's peace in here. There's a safe zone in here.
the Lord. Surely the presence. Surely. Surely.
Let's don't forget the, I call it putting a period to it. Otherwise, the end of it. Let's don't forget the end of the sentence, right? God's got a period on it. He laid that on the heart because the period is, He loves us so much and He knows where we are. God knows where we are, right? He knows where we are. Hallelujah. My sister Molly said, you've got to hang in there, right? Amen? Put the whole armor of God on. We've got to pray. Amen? You know what prayer does? This earth is Satan's. This is Satan's world, right? This is God's word said. It's Satan's world. We wonder if God knows it anyhow. Why do we have to pray? You know what prayer does? Prayer puts everything in our domain. We give it back to God's domain and take it out of Satan's domain. Takes it out of Satan's hands and puts it in God's hands because we declare it's our life, our problems, our relatives, right? Our son that has cancer, right? So what we do by praying, we take it out of Satan's domain, right? And we say, this is mine, I put it in God's domain, amen? We put it back in God's hands. So that's how prayer is so important. Now watch out. Praise is important because praise puts a cap on it and settles it. Praise said, it's done.
Jesus, you're so good.
Majesty.
Oh, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would touch her, God. Thank you, Lord, that you meet her everything, Lord, that you're always there. You never leave us, you never forsake us, God. In the early hours of the night, Lord, you're there. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Just want to remind everybody that there'll be